From WNYC in New York, this is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Led Zeppelin's famous and often sampled version of When the Levee Breaks got a new life after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans back in 2005. But the original song goes back to another earlier disaster, the Great Flood of 1927, when the Mississippi River overflowed its banks and affected 10 states.
If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. And the water gonna come, I have no place to stay. Well, all last night I sat on the levee and moaned.
When Memphis Minnie and Kansas Joe McCoy recorded the first version of the song, it was 1929, and the fallout from the Great Flood was still recent history. But the Great Flood was not just the most destructive river flood America's ever seen. It was a pivotal moment in American culture and changed the course of American music. Now, filmmaker Bill Morrison is presenting his new silent movie, The Great Flood, culled from archival footage from 1927 and silent except for a brilliant new score by guitarist Bill Frisell. Bill Morrison, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks so much, John.
Am I overstating the case? Did this flood really kind of change the course of music history?
It changed the course of American history, I'd say. You know, culturally, politically, the way that we treated rivers. And of course, the Great Migration was an ongoing event, and this was something that promoted it and made it.
The Great Migration of African Americans up the Mississippi to parts of the northern United States.
Specifically, northern urban centers.
Right.
It's been going on arguably since the Civil War, and then there was a big spike at World War I, and this was yet another one.
Mm-hmm. So you had the sounds of Southern music being brought to places that hadn't heard it before.
You had Delta blues guitarists coming just as the electric guitar was starting to converge upon the states. And so you had, you could think of it as people need to be heard over the sounds of the city, and they would plug in and the music changed. So
So Bill Frisell, who worked with you on this film, The Great Flood, he's just the latest in a long line of Americans responding to this particular event in April of 1927. Where does that start? Where do we first hear musicians responding to the Great Flood?
Well, as you said, one of the earliest is Memphis Minnie and the most often quoted. I think Bessie Smith recorded something in 1926, and that was the Cumberland River. And, you know, flooding happened in the east and throughout the south in the winter before, and culminating in 1927, where just not enough water drained off so that you had this convergence.
So with Bessie Smith's Backwater Blues, she had already written this? But everybody assumes that, you know, I mean, it was unfortunate but perfect timing because it sort of hit the
It was the same
the
flood, if
and,
you will, yeah.
So this is Bessie Smith, recorded in 1927, and her song Backwater Blues.
When it rained 5 days and the sky turned dark at night. When it rained 5 days and the sky turned dark at night. Then trouble taking place in the lowlands at night.
Bill Bessie Smith, recorded in 1927 as the Mississippi, the Great Flood of the Mississippi River was happening, and the United States, much of it feeling the effects. The Backwater Blues, though, as filmmaker Bill Morrison was just telling us, had actually been written for an earlier kind of precursor to the Great Flood. You said it was the Cumberland River that overflowed its
banks?
That's
what I understand, yeah.
Bill Morrison's with me on Soundcheck. His movie Decasia was recently inducted into the National Film Registry at the Library of Congress, along with Mary Poppins and Pulp Fiction, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
The Great Flood opens tomorrow, Wednesday, January 8th, for 1 week at IFC Center here in New York. And as with Decasia and so many of your other works, Bill, it is based on old silent footage stock. Now, in the case of Decasia, it was a kind of fantasy on decay. What was the condition of the footage that you used for this movie, for The Great Flood?
I mean, it varied greatly, but there are some of those pock marks and the marks of humidity, essentially, that sort of affecting the nitrate, and it's decomposing and interacting with the music in much the same way. So every frame is different. It's flecked by a different permutation, and that interacts with the music differently.
So most filmmakers would look at this stock and say, I can't use it. It's got these pock marks and flecks and, you know, the nitrate's decaying and stuff. It's unusable. But for you,
it's gold.
Why is that?
Well, of course, it goes back to the inspiration of music, and music is a central topic to all my films, and especially in this one where it's literally the content. And I think that, again, this is making a formal representation of music in the way that it's the frames disintegrating and the images and the material of the film are becoming one, and it's making different rhythms than you'd see normally with just a clean film.
So did this archival footage, was it mostly newsreel stuff, documentary material, stuff like that?
Yeah, it was almost entirely newsreel stuff. We did create a couple different sequences. One, a virtual flyover of the valley where you see basically it looks like Lake Michigan in the middle of
the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
Now, you have in the past cut another film to pre-existing music by Bill Frisell. How did this collaboration work?
I mean, in the past, we've done two shorts, the film of her in the mid-90s and The Mesmerist in 2003. And in both those cases, I took pre-recorded tracks of Bill's. And with The Mesmerist, we always had the idea that he would come back and record over that, but it worked so well, he threw up his hands and said, can we just play it this way? So it had always been a promise we made to one another that we would start a project from the ground up, and that it would be a large project. So we were hunting for a topic that could hold that. And I was in a dinner party not long after Katrina in Baton Rouge, and they started talking about this book, Rising Tides, and how, you know, the correlations between Katrina and the 1927 flood. And I realized almost immediately that this could be a subject that Bill and I could collaborate on, just because the repercussions and the implications for music were there, his interest in Americana.
So again, the idea that this was a, you know, no pun intended, a watershed moment for American music, the flood and what it did to augment the ongoing Great Migration, as it's known. So there's one piece that Bill wrote. It's called Dynamiting Poitras, April 29th, 1927. What does Dynamiting Poitras refer to?
You know, this was essentially a bid to save New Orleans, to take out a curve in the Mississippi that would flood essentially where African Americans lived in a bid to save more wealthy white New Orleans. And so it was done, people were paid pennies on the dollar for their land and forced out. So it was in some ways the most grotesque example of the disparity between rich and poor that comes out in unfortunately in events like this.
Was it successful?
Well, it, it was successful in that it drained the river there. It wasn't necessary in that the levees broke the night before anyway. And so that body of water never made it there, and it was completely unnecessary. So it was often referred to during Katrina because it was a willful breach of the levee.
This is some of Bill Frisell's music for Bill Morrison's otherwise silent film called The Great Flood. Guitarist Bill Frisell and some of his music to Bill Morrison's otherwise silent movie, The Great Flood, a movie built on archival footage of the Mississippi River flood of 1927. Bill Morrison's The Great Flood opens tomorrow, January 8th, for 1 week at the IFC Center here in New York. It'll be out on DVD and available on video on demand later this year. That piece is called Dynamiting Poydras, April 29th, 1927. There's footage of people in their Sunday best, you know, and there's a lot of dancing and stuff, obviously to music we don't hear. The subject was just made for the blues, but it seems like there was joy and life and dancing going on even in the thick of this.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing to remember about a flood and something I didn't really fully comprehend until I experienced the flooding of the Mississippi in 2011, and then, of course, our own flood here last year in Sandy, is that it's sort of insidious. It's creeping, you know, and life goes on with the knowledge that this thing is coming, but without the big explosion of, say, an earthquake or a fire or something.
So it's not a wall of water suddenly wiping a town away, although that can happen.
That can happen with a levee break, for sure, and that's what people are fearing, but before and after that, there's a lot of hand-wringing. Mm. And with that, also some humor, and as people try to get by and endure.
Bill Morrison is with us on Soundcheck, and we're looking at the musical impact of The Great Flood. The great bluesman Charlie Patton famously recorded a two-part song about the flood, right?
That's right. High water everywhere.
Let's hear a little bit of part two.
The water rising and it's digging down. Then the water was rising and blessed all around.
Water's all around.
It was 50 minutes till I saw the singing drown.
Charlie Patton and High Water Everywhere. And about 80 years later, Bob Dylan wrote this musical response to that song.
High water rising, rising night and day. All the gold and silver being stolen away. Picture Turner looking east and west from the dark room of his mind. He made your Kansas City 12th Street and Vine, nothing standing there. I want to hear it with you. I want to rise in the shacks are sliding down. Folks lose their possessions, the folks are leaving town. Bertha Mason shook it, broke it, then she hung it on the wall. Say you're dancing with whom they tell you to, or you don't dance at all. It's tough out there. I want her everywhere.
Bob Dylan. The song's called High Water for Charlie Patton. And we heard a little bit of Charlie Patton's High Water Everywhere, written in the aftermath of the Great Flood of 1927. And Bill, so here we are, you know, it's over 80 years ago, and, you know, musicians are still responding to it. You as a filmmaker still responding to this event. You know, the great migration up the Mississippi to Kansas City, then to Chicago, and then on into the world. I mean, what did you learn from this project? Was there something that you found that surprised you?
You know, when we set out to make it, of course, Bill writes with musicians, and
that's Bill Frisell,
yeah,
who does the score,
and so it was very important to be with his guys, and that's how the thing would be created. And I was invited into that process in a way that I hadn't been with any of my other collaborators, and we booked a tour that went around the Mississippi, and it started in Memphis, and then it went to Texas, and then to New Orleans, and really up the Mississippi, St. Louis, Vicksburg. I mean, I really use music as the skeleton of all my films, so that it is different for other people. It's what I really count on when I work with a musician, and in this way, I was able to communicate to Bill using his own recordings where I saw the arc, even if I had to repeat a piece in a draft version, where I saw the emotional arc of the film going, and then he was able to rewrite that, and I was able to re-edit that, and then through the entire year and a half of recording live performances, again re-edit to the version we have now. So creatively, it was quite a process, and one that I learned a lot from. And of course, I learned all about the 1927 flood, which I only had an inkling of before.
Yeah. Well, it has inspired so much music over the years, more than we've even had time to talk about here. And the latest salvo is from Bill Frisell, his score to Bill Morrison's film The Great Flood. We'll hear a little bit more of that. The Great Flood opens tomorrow for 1 week at IFC Center here in New York. Later this year, video on demand and DVD. And Bill, it's beautiful. It's a great story and a surprising one. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks so much, John, and thanks for having me on the air.
If you love the Soundcheck podcast, consider showing your support with a one-time donation or become a monthly sustainer. Go to soundcheck.org and click on support. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.